Welcome back. Welcome everyone to the Fastest Known Podcast, talking with some of the fastest known people and some of the most interesting known people. And today we have gone back east. We've gone to upstate New York. We don't like to be Western U.S. centric. We like to go all around the world, and particularly out to different states where there's many crushers, many interesting things happening. So today I am speaking with Bethany Gerritsen from Keene, New York, in the heart of the Adirondacks. Welcome, Bethany.
Thanks, Buzz. Thanks for having me. So happy to be here.
Well, you've got a nice story. I mean, we were chatting, as we tend to do, just to get warmed up, but you didn't need any warming up. You were ready to rock. You have a fun story here, and it's not about like being the fastest runner, climbing the highest mountain or anything like that. You told me that you and your partner, I should say your recreation partner, Katie Rhodes, who unfortunately had a technical issue. She was signed up to be on this podcast with us, but she had a technical difficulty. She couldn't make it. You two hooked up about a year ago, and you've just been rocking it ever since. It's this really fun success story. So fill us in a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And it is too bad that Katie can't be with us today. And she is the one that sorts out any tech issue if we have it in the field. So it's almost ironic that her computer just wasn't working for this. But she's with me in spirit. She always is. So Katie and I came together last year. It's almost our 1 year anniversary for the 46 unsupported through hike. And we became the first women to do that. And we teamed up. She had reached out to me that summer because she did find me on the Fastest Known Time website for a few others I had done. And she just knew my name a little bit. And she actually reached out to me on Facebook. And I had been looking for a partner to do the through hike with. And it was a good fit from the very beginning, and she and I have become best friends, and we've also gotten 23 FKTs since the through hike. You know, we've combined for 23, and I would say this year has just been an amazing year in learning what we can do and also starting to understand FKTs more, and even just like the procedure for them and, you know, the protocol and all that. It's been a great learning experience, and oh, it's been fun. And
well, I really like this. Sorry, I'm just kind of laughing along with you. This is so much fun. You're coming up on what you termed your 1 year anniversary, which was September 17th. Of last year. We're recording this on September 8th. So actually, people are going to be hearing this on your anniversary. This is very fun. And what you're referring to, of course, back there, it's the 46ers through hike. Everyone, it's like the Boston Marathon of the Adirondacks. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone knows what this is. But for others who may not know, this means the 46 highest summits in the Adirondack mountain range of upstate New York. And it can be done different ways. And so there's the supported style. We've had Alyssa Godesky on recently on podcast for doing it supported. And you and Katie did it not only unsupported. I mean, you did it through hiker style unsupported, which means instead of just getting driven to the different trailheads, you just hiked the whole thing start to finish without getting in a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's our, I would say, definition or standard for the through hike up here is like it's unsupported, though. I think there's been some variation to supported through hike too. And but what we really wanted to do, I had been inspired since 2009 when Jan Welford and Corey did it. And they were the first team to do it in unsupported fashion with no food drops, no aid whatsoever. And that was the standard I wanted to replicate someday and do.
Nice. Well, you and Katie have just been off to the races since then, 23 FKTs, bam, bam, bam. I like what you said about getting to understand the style and figure it out. But just to stay with the 46ers for a second,
yep.
It's really different to do it through hike style because you're just kind of mushing through the underbrush. I mean, so you could road walk to the trailheads and up the trail to the summits, or you can say, well, heck with this. I'm just going to head for the summit. But then if you're in the Adirondacks, you're going through some serious bush. So what's the tactics here?
Oh, so a lot, actually. And this is where Katie and I just teamed up really well because I had been thinking about this for a few years. She and I had been like looking at the route. I actually tried it in 2016 and got more than halfway, but ended up dropping out because of really high temperatures. So the route is key, and understanding if a bushwhack is going to save you time or it's just going to drain you mentally and physically. So, and in the Adirondacks, our bushwhacks are horrible. They are, they like wretch your heart. I don't like bushwhacking. And Katie's a good fit for me because she actually really likes bushwhacks. So as soon as I knew that about her, I was like, well, let's go do this thing. And so she led the biggest bushwhack that we had from Big Slide to Porter. And I love her for that.
And so, again, sorry, I just have to fill this in. So when you get through that, are your shins all scratched up and your arms all scratched up?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a car wash. And when I describe it to my students, so I'm a professor at Paul Smith's College, and I also teach a class for Clarkston University all about Adirondack history and really hiking in the high peaks. And the way I describe bushwhacking is you get whacked with bushes, you get poked, you get tripped, like you fall. I was on a recent bushwhack, and since you're off trail in new territory, like someone I was with, they pushed on a tree and the tree fell because it was a dead tree. And it's just, you're bloodied. I wear glasses when I bushwhack. I put my hair a different way when I bushwhack because you're just getting pulled in all directions. And the Northwoods forest is so thick. And once you get higher up into the conifers, you're really sometimes like walking through on the tree branches. It's so thick.
Sorry. So are you, I guess people aren't going to jump right in and say, or maybe some are, say, hey, let's go do that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's funny because I think I love the Adirondacks so much because they were the first mountains I hiked and I didn't know any better. So they just became my backyard as a college student. I actually went to Paul Smith's College and ended up staying here, became a wilderness therapy instructor. And so I was taking, teenagers out on these long bushwhacks, and people would cry, it wasn't fun. But I do think there's a lot there of just like I said, these were the first mountains I ever hiked, and they are some of the hardest because I've gone on to hike out west. I love out west. It's so nice. You guys have switchbacks. You have,
switchbacks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of our trails just go up like riverbeds. And But I have a deep love for the Adirondacks.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
Also out west, once you get above timberline, bushwhacking becomes immaterial. There isn't any bushes, mostly. Right. Mostly. It can be Kumholz. Kumholz is a German word for stunted tree. But generally speaking, the terrain is much more open in the arid west. Sierras are similar in that respect.
Yes.
But the Adirondacks, there's not much above timberline. Is anything above timberline?
There's a few. I would be interested to see what the mileage was, but a few of our higher peaks, break the tree line. Marcy has some nice, about 0.6 above tree line. Algonquin has about like 0.4 on both sides. And so there's definitely a few.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, sorry, this is such an interesting conversation. So you do wilderness therapy. Now, that means people are supposed to recover some sense of health and well-being by being in nature, I believe. Does that mean you're going to take them out for an Adirondack bushwhack? I mean, wouldn't that be counterproductive? So fill me in here. I mean, I'm trying to decide if I want to sign up my grandkids for this or not.
Definitely. So that's a good starting definition for it. And it's really healing in the outdoors. And I worked with teenagers specifically, and they were struggling with addiction, depression, suicide ideation, anxiety, eating disorders. And so they needed an intervention. And some students came to us as an alternative to the juvie system. And it was a 2 to 3 month program. So it was an immersion program. As instructors, we rotated in and out. Like 1 week we worked, 1 week we had off. So the students were in the field the whole time, and they were meeting with a therapist twice a week. And then as field instructors, it was our job to hike, set up camp, and to also provide experiences that were going to test them. You know, physically, if you're tested physically, it pushes you mentally. And a lot of the students, we had to break down barriers with them. So bushwhacks were actually a tool that we use because they do break you. And that's where a lot of students had good breakthroughs. And I should say this, like, it's not in a negative way at all. It's not like we're trying to make our students cry. And we want to have them be able to get to a point where they're expressing themselves emotionally. And, you know, as instructors, we're keeping them safe because, you know, we have training in this and we're not going to, you know, put them in unsafe situations. But I saw a lot of, you know, beautiful breakthroughs in the middle of the woods on bushwhacks because you do really feel lost and you feel alone and you need to, like, reach out for someone.
That's very, very interesting, Bethany. Because as it happens, my wife is a long-term child psychiatrist. And so she works in a similar fashion all the time. And she comes home from work and comments on, you know, how things have changed so much this past as 5-10 years in her long-term practice. And like you say, suicide is one of the highest death rates among teenagers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think, oh, terrorism. Terrorism doesn't really matter. I mean, more people are killed by pet dogs than are killed by terrorists. But suicide is for real. In fact, more members of our armed service kill themselves than are killed by the so-called enemy, by far. Yes. Not even close.
Yeah, and 22 a day.
22 a day.
Yeah. Look up Mission 22. And I'm glad we're talking about it because this is what Katie and I talk about on trail. It's mental health, and it's, you know, a lot of it comes from my background in wilderness therapy. But when we did the thru hike, we did it for 46 climbs, which is a mission to raise suicide awareness. And Katie very sadly lost a brother to suicide. And so I think that's why we formed a pretty strong bond on our thru hike as well, because it was in remembrance of him, of Tim.
Wow. Well, be sure to send me the URLs for 22. What's it? Mission 22.
Mission 22. And that's for veterans awareness with suicide, because we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide.
That's insane. That's just ludicrous.
Yeah,
and I think my personal opinion would be that our priorities are really messed up. We don't really need another B-1 bomber. We need mental health. We need a society that takes care of people. Because I think, as you know, being a clinician is you can only go so far. It's really society as a whole has to be a healthier, more inviting place. And what I'm hearing is we're seeing a little less of the people who just have difficult biological conditions and more of a family and society situation. And so, like, your wilderness therapy can really help. Give them something to believe in. Give them something that is real. What I'm hearing, I'm speaking very non-professionally, major disclaimer here, But rather than needing a adjustment in hormone and enzymatic levels in the bloodstream, you just need a sense of purpose and meaning in your life.
Oh, yes.
And so, so you are helping them do that. And so we're at the hospital, which has like 250 beds where my wife works, they're seeing, 30 people coming, 30 children coming in a day sometimes. And it's things that you are working with, providing meaning, providing context, so they have something to believe in. Because sometimes we read the headlines in the newspaper and we're kind of going, oh my gosh, this is a little, this is a little crazy. And so if you're 12 years old, you're 14, they're really thinking that, aren't they?
Yeah. And it's every generation, you know, we really have to do a better job as a society to talk about mental health as physical health. You know, we still have stigmas around it today where we can talk about cancer and we can call those people brave who battle cancer. However, we still have this stigma a lot of times around if someone's dealing with depression or suicide ideation, that they have to hide that from the world and that they're not brave, that they actually, they feel shame, and we have to change that. And I think the mountains are such a good tool for that because it gives you purpose, it gives you community, and it is free, almost free therapy after you purchase your gear and you have your car ride, your car ride and, you know, some of the things that go with it. And that's why in the Adirondacks, and I know this is going on in some other places too, I get upset when I hear that we want to put limitations on the number of hikers that can come to the mountains. And I know there's a lot of layers to it for sure. But I just, I don't want to decrease access for people. I think it's really important for people of all ability and all backgrounds to be able to access wild spaces.
Wow. I have to, you stimulated me to offer still another personal opinion, which is I agree 100%. Public access to public lands is key. That's part of the reason they exist. Obviously, we're protecting them from development, a very fine purpose. But we, for our mental, physical, and emotional health, we need to be able to visit them.
Yes. And I say that too. I'm not a mental health professional. I have worked as a wilderness therapy instructor. All my time, though, working in and around this field, I see how hard it is for people to get help. And that's another thing that has to change with society. You know, like, yes, we have hotlines and but it's even harder to like really get someone help, you know, if they're in crisis. And especially in places like the North Country, we just, we have lack of medical facilities as it is. And I see that even on our campus at Paul Smith's, we're very remote, we're very rural. And that's not just in the Adirondacks, that's across the United States in rural areas and also urban. So, and then when you throw in insurance, and, you know, here's my soapbox because, you know, I just, I study it, I see it, I teach it. We have to have a better system. And that's why I say it's so important to keep public lands public because that is free therapy. It's very, very crucial. It's very, very important. And it has saved people. And Katie and I meet a lot of hikers and they recognize us and they tell us their stories around 46 climbs or, you know, like they had their own personal low moments or they lost someone to suicide and now they're hiking the 46 to either honor that person or to heal. And I just see it, you know, all the time. It becomes this personal quest, this personal journey of healing.
Wow. Bethany, well said. This is terrific. I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about today. This is so stimulating, so interesting, and so important. And look how topical this is. You know, the Olympics just ended 4 weeks ago, where we saw this sea change. Did we not? Yeah. And we saw before that Naomi Osaka, the probably the best female tennis player in the world, or at least one of the top three, who bowed out of the French Open because she didn't want to do the press conference. actually, she didn't want to do it. So they came down on her. She said, okay, I'm out of here. And instead of being criticized, I think mostly, she was very supported in that. And then, of course, we went into the Olympics, and possibly the most featured U.S. Olympian was the greatest gymnast of all time, Simone Biles. And then she said, wow, I don't got it today. Yep. I'm not feeling it today. And, of course, people are going, what? I mean, that's what? They're just amazed. But then you think about it, and if you're not feeling perfectly 100%, do you really want to be 15 feet up out of the air, upside down, spinning around three times, your head facing downward? I don't want to be doing that. And so I can see why if she's at 98%, she said, I'm going to take a pass. And yes. I think she got support. I think there's some haters in there, but I think there's a change. I think there's a change.
Yes. And I see that too. And I'm so proud of those athletes for doing what they did. And I'm proud of the athletes and people that support their decisions, because this is the cultural shift that we need to have happen. It needs to be accepted. And we are human, and our brain is biology. And you know what? Like, there's been days where mentally I'm not on it, and I'm not going to go do a route that requires me to be really present. And, you know, I've done some higher mountain stuff, and, you know, I've backed off an expo, you know, like a higher mountain around like 20,000 feet, but it's a technical route and I'm not going to do it. I already know mentally I'm not there because of things going on in my life. So we cannot judge people for that. We all go through it. And the more we accept it, I think the healthier society we will have. And I really see young people being the leaders in this. I see it on Instagram. I see it with our athletes. And I'm really proud of that.
Nice. Wow. Things are changing. Things are shifting. What you said a few minutes ago is so, that's the one liner to take away, which is to realize that so-called mental illness is just like physical illness.
Yeah.
If someone gets cancer, no one's going to get on their case. No one's going to say, hey, pull it together, buddy, step it up. But if someone has a mental illness, they might say, oh, attitude adjustment. Come on.
Yeah.
Pull it together. Mm-hmm. When an illness, a disease is a disease.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad that history has created those stereotypes and those bias, and the treatment of mentally ill was absolutely horrid in this country and still is in other parts of the world. And it's really, it's very sad. Very, very sad.
Oh, wow. Bethany, this is dramatic, but, I didn't even know we were going to talk about this. So thank you very much for filling us all in here. But we better go back to your 1 year anniversary, which literally is when this episode comes out.
Yeah.
Because then you and Katie, like we said, were off to the races. That was on September 17th, then October 9th, Lake Placid, October 17th, November 22nd, January 12th. I mean, you just threw down. You were just going after it. And so help us understand this. FKTs, and I already asked you this, you're not a big racer.
No.
FKTs became your jam.
Yeah, they did. So I think this is a good transition, because when Katie and I came together, it was for the Through Hike and 46 Climbs. And because I had been a wilderness therapy instructor, I lived off the grid a lot. And this actually plays into why I've just started to do FKTs, because I really didn't realize how big it was until 2 years ago. And I actually got like my own cell phone 2 years ago, and I got on Strava last year. And before that, I would just go out and I would hike, and I just love being out in the mountains. And so after the Through Hike and after I got on Strava, I just started to see even like what my pace was. And then I just started doing some math with you know, FKTs that were so already out there. And I started exploring the website more and I was like, oh my God, there's like so many in my backyard. So I want to, right now I have 19 and I really want to try to get 50 by 2023 and just keep going. I want to get them in the Adirondacks. I want to get them out west. I want to get them in other countries. They are fun. And for me, the technology part has been the most challenging. And even, you know, like last year I got a GPS watch because I knew Katie and I had a good chance of getting the through hike and I wanted to make sure it was recorded as well as we could. And again, that's why it's funny that you're talking to me and not Katie, because she is the one that gets the technology going for us. And so I feel it's funny because like I was doing this stuff. I was just doing it off the grid. And I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't on Instagram. These are all recent things. So I'm just kind of enjoying the party now that I got here.
I love that. Got on Strava 2 years ago. You got your GPS watch. But you also said that you were living off the grid. So you really were a North Woods person.
Yes, I am. Some of my friends who meet me for the first time, they laugh at that. They're like, how did you just get a phone 2 years ago? Or how do you not know what this is? And so, I grew up in a rural area. I went to college in a rural area. And then I stayed in the woods for a while.
So you're good at chopping wood.
I am, yeah. And starting a fire with a bow drill, and I can survive just with a knife. So I'm pretty hardy.
Okay, this is I'm still pondering this. This is very cool. You've joined the party. So of course now that you've been on the Fastest Known Podcast, the offers are going to come rolling in. What is it? The Tonight Show is next. Oprah will be calling.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, I think. Maybe not. Who knows? Maybe not. Yeah. And still though, don't like the bushwhacking. So it's interesting. Mm-mm.
No, I need moral support on the bushwhacks, so that's why I surround myself with great people. And yeah, I will say I like them more than I did a year ago. Like, I have grown to like them more.
Well, you're probably good on snowshoes or skis then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, So snowshoes, I started using them more. Well, when I first started using them, it was wilderness therapy and we would just, have to wear them in the Adirondacks. And we had like really big packs and, like 50, 60 pounds pulling sleds. And I think that's just where some of my endurance started to build and also like my mental capacity. Cause even after the through hike and, it didn't feel too different than what I did in wilderness therapy, other than like the mileage was way longer, but it's just kind of one foot in front of the other. You have to start the day and finish the day and keep yourself fed and hydrated. And,
simple stuff.
Yeah. You break it down. So a lot of things translate for sure.
Right. Right. Well, I think what you, maybe Katie also had, was a comfortability of being outside.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
If someone, people come from this from different sides. You can get a road runner, someone who's really fast. Mm-hmm. They're learning something else. They might be feeling a little intimidated by dark or navigation and things like that. And you came at it from another direction. I mean, to be alone in the woods just felt happy.
Yeah. And it does.
Yeah,
I get stronger as the time goes on in the woods. Like if the longer it goes, the stronger I will get because I get so much strength from just being outside.
I like that. I like that. I'm still, everything you're saying is making me think.
That's good. It's because I'm a teacher and I'm in my classroom right now and I'm in teaching mode. Yeah.
You are. I appreciate that. That learning is good and thinking is good. A little bit of silence to ponder what someone else is saying is really good. And so I'm literally processing what you are saying right now. It brings back something that Peter Backman said. Obviously, one of the co-founders of Fastest Known Time, and still the only person to do the double Hard Rock. That's where you do the Hard Rock 100, the whole thing. And then when the actual race starts, you do it again, usually going in the opposite direction. And I can't remember his exact quote, but it's something like, one has to make peace with the rocks, the trees, and the mountains. Mm-hmm. And which sounds okay, whatever, but that really has a lot of meaning. So if you're out there fighting for it, you know, like they say on TV, conquering the mountain, it's a lot of work. You're expending a lot of energy and you're getting a little angst. And if you get a little aggressive, that takes a little more energy. Well, if you feel at home, if you feel comfortable, if you feel that nature is your friend, I think that can improve performance, if you don't mind me putting it in those terms.
Oh, definitely. And it really does. And that's why I'm still finding my racing identity, because for so long I went out there and I wasn't racing. I was just, you know, being out there. And then I would say my first round of FKTs was me just kind of doing the same thing of like, okay, I know my pace is this and I can just go out and I can do this. And now it's different. You know, it's like I have to be in that competitive space, and it's not always there because sometimes I just need to go and just be with the mountains. And so now I'm finding this like new place with it, because now I feel it combining a little bit, and it's really cool because I am a competitor. I played soccer and basketball in high school and college, and that's even how I started hiking High Peaks. I was looking for a physical outlet after college.
Wow. And you're focusing on FKTs. I like this. This is, you want to get to a total of 50 by the end of next year.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And then, yeah, see where it goes from there. And what Katie and I also try to do with our FKTs is raise awareness. And I think that's why, you know, you and I talk so much about mental health. And that's a big pillar of what we advocate for. Also with being like, advocating for women empowerment. And I'm a brand ambassador for She Jumps. And that's been awesome work to get more women and girls outside. And that's it. You know, sometimes it's not a competition. It's like going out and just having people see you out there. And I want more women to see that, because as endurance athletes and just athletes in general, women are so strong. And we don't always have to have this second place finish to men. And I just think we're badass and way stronger than lots of times I hear women give themselves credit for.
Right. That's indeed. Well, we're going to put both those websites on a written show note, She Jumps and Mission 22. Thank you. Thank you for those, bringing that to our attention, and, you know, strong agreement on the how strong are women. Part of that, might, you know, somewhat humble personal opinion, is how women present themselves. It's very interesting, because there's no question, no one would doubt the strength, the endurance, the determination, etc. But there's an attitude about being flamboyant or talking about themselves. You see what I mean?
It becomes
very interesting, because in a way, you don't want to talk about yourself. I mean, it's kind of, that's sort of a little odd thing too. So one ends up in this interesting in-between place where, particularly for a mountain athlete, to go spray, you know, look at me, is kind of, that's a little cheesy. But on the other hand, if you want to be sponsored, if you want to get support, it's kind of part of your job. So it's an interesting balancing act, particularly for a female, I think.
Yeah, culturally, it's very interesting. And I was very fortunate to grow up in a family of strong women. Like, my mom was a four-sport athlete during Title IX, and she was my coach in high school. And so, like, I never questioned my voice. I just have it. It's like, I know I'm good and I'm going to say it because you know what? The guy next to me is saying it. And so I'm going to go try to beat him. And I want more women to do that too, because like I see it also in groups that are underrepresented. And until we get more people in the room that look like us, or like whether it's gender or race or sexual identity, we really aren't as bold. And we need to get more voices out there.
Wow. I'm signing up for your class next semester.
Sweet.
if there's any online classes, I'm signing up. Well said, Bethany. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being who you are and for having such a strong voice so the rest of us can hear it. And hopefully, so everyone, especially young women, can hear your voice. This is wonderful.
Thanks, Buzz. I appreciate it. And I appreciate, you know, having the opportunity to come on and talk about a few things, because that's what I, you know, kind of tell my students and try to give them some advice when they have to do a presentation or a speech. It's like, hey, if you had 30 minutes, what would you tell the world? Or what do you want to leave as your mark? You know, we're only here for a short time, so I think we should make the most of it.
I agree. Thank you again, Bethany. And I think we're going to be talking with you again sometime.
Hopefully. I think so too. I got some stuff definitely planned out, so we'll see how it goes. You don't get them all, but I'll see what I can do.
Excellent. Thank you.